The Burt Show.
Your flirting isn't working because you're not trying hard enough. And it's not your fault. It's because guys are clueless. This is on Jay Shetty's podcast.
How do you let someone know that they should make a move without giving it away?
It's a phenomenon called signal amplification bias. We tend to think we are over-obvious with our cues. So if you're in a bar, they literally studied singles in a like bar nightclub setting. Women and men who think they are being obvious with their flirtation cues, the other person has no idea. Okay?
That's so good.
They observed singles mingling and they counted each person's flirtatious signals towards other people in the room. They found in 10 minutes, how many signals do you think it took for a woman to show a man she was interested in?
Now that you've given me some sort of, I'm going to go 30.
29.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's it. But do you know how many signals that is in 10 minutes?
That's a lot of signals.
That is pretty constant.
Well, I probably would have said 3, 7.
That is what women think. I sent 3 flirty glances and he just didn't come over. He's not interested. No, he didn't see him. Or he doubted himself. It took 29 signals in 10 minutes to get approached. So the other person went, oh, she's interested. Just interested. That was before the conversation started. In the same group of studies, they found that attractive women, the most attractive women who are rated on their attractiveness, got approached less than unattractive women who didn't signal enough.
Fascinating.
So if you're an attractive woman and you don't signal enough, you won't be approached.
Do you have to approach more based on how objectively attractive you are?
You have to be available more. Sometimes I think we use attractiveness as an excuse. I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not this enough. No, actually, some unattractive women who signaled availability got approached more.
Wow.
And so availability actually makes you more attractive. When you think about your hair, your outfit, how you look, how you smell, all those things are great, but they will not work if you do not know the body language signals of availability.
29 times, you gotta show them. What?
Fuglies out here rejoicing. And then the hot people are like, see, I told you it was hard being hot. Nobody wants to approach me.
So the name of the woman speaking is Vanessa Van Edwards, and I went to school with her, actually.
Oh, yeah?
She's from Atlanta. We went to Emory together, and she is a body language expert. So if you do struggle, like, her thing is stop being awkward, and she teaches you how to do this. Her latest book is called Cues, and it's all about becoming a charismatic person. Oh. So you can, like, literally, like, if you are one of the fugly people who struggles, you can literally teach yourself to become more charismatic. Obviously, I have not read the book, but there are others who have, and I think that is really cool to hear that, you know, it's not always just about looks. And I think we're so hard on ourselves sometimes too, if we feel like we don't fit an ideal stereotype, and it's more than just looks.
Mm-hmm. 29 signals you gotta give. 29.
I did the math on that. In 10 minutes, it means you have to give him a signal every 20.5 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Still won't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna walk up to you at that point.
This might go hand in hand with what we're about to talk about, and that's setting you up with somebody that you're not really sure if they're even into you or not.
Well, so we couldn't delve into the debate yesterday because it was the setup that got us to the debate of whether or not this guy is into Abby. And it was all because of the youth group trivia night. So if you remember, Bert, last week, youth group, they do trivia night every Thursday, and they were trying to convince Abby to come, and then lured her with the dude.
That's right.
Jackson's got a friend. He's like, my friend's going to come, you know, come out. We'll have a great, great time. And just really quick in summary, the dude was I'm not going to say he was a no-show.
He was a no-show.
But he texted Jackson. He was like, hey, would it be okay if I don't come tonight? Jackson hit up Abby and it was like, and I'm the one sharing this because I want all bias out the window for Bert, because the two of you, when you were talking about it on Thursday, it was very skewed from coming from both of you. So Jackson's friend texted him, hey, I got something else. Would it be okay if I missed? Jackson hits Abby up and said, hey, would you be bummed if the guy doesn't show up? And she was like, F no. Like, she wouldn't care if he didn't show up. So the guy didn't come, right? And she ended up being like a ninth wheel and did not have the greatest time at trivia. But we started talking and it was like, Cassie and I firmly stand like, yeah, the dude's, he's just not that. He's just not into you. Like, If he was into you, he would have came. However, Mo and Jackson are like, we don't even know the reason why he wasn't able to come. How do you know he's not into her?
There's just one piece of evidence I need before diving into an opinion. Did he state that he knew Abby was going to be there?
he knew that she was going to be there.
And so there was this little flirty kind of, this might be a potential thing before?
Well, I've kind of floated the idea to him of like, hey, you know, you're single, she's single, you're both in the same age range, you're kind of almost a spitting image of what she's into. Like, it just sort of made sense for it to be worth at least a date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
you don't have enough to make an opinion yet?
I'm chewing on it.
My take was just more so, we don't know. Like, I don't know if he's into her. I don't know that he's not into her. But him not showing up, because they haven't really developed anything yet. So for him, what if it was like a family emergency or something that was just important?
He would have said that.
Yeah, he would have said that. Right. Especially.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think
but he would have been like, hey, instead of saying, hey, is it cool if I don't show up tonight, he would have been like, hey man, I'm so sorry, something came up, I can't come tonight.
Well, what exactly did he say?
He just said he was like, is it okay if I take a pass and we do this next week, like something came up. That's all he said.
Here's a tip off for me, is that if he was really interested in meeting Abby, if he really thought like she was hot and really interested, he would have said, hey, I can't make it, but will you let Abby know blankety blank 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 blank, and there was nothing there at all.
You know what it's sounding like? I can't say that he doesn't think Abby isn't attractive or whatever, but it's giving, my friend's trying to set me up on a date. And so it feels like he's doing Jackson a favor rather than wanting to meet Abby. Does that make sense? Like, you know when you do something for a friend and you're like, I don't really want to do it. And it might be amazing and it might be so much fun, but you're like, not tonight, I'm not feeling up to it. So I don't think it's commentary on Abby per se, but I do think it does show that he is not like gung-ho super interested. So I think the question is, do you want to meet someone and maybe there could be a chance there? Like, I wouldn't ding the guy permanently for it.
No, he's dinged permanently. This is second ding. This is ding number two.
What was the first ding again?
Because remember, this is not the first time Jackson's tried to set me up with this dude. So like a year ago, because he had a girl from between like last year and now, I came across him on a dating app. And so I was like, oh my God, this is the guy that Jackson has been hitting me up about for like weeks. Why don't I just throw him a like, because he thinks that we would be compatible. And then he didn't match with me, so.
Oh. Yeah. Here's the thing, okay?
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, that makes things a little clearer.
It does. I think that was also a fluke, too, because he was living in New York then.
No, he had just moved here.
And he was also living at home then. And so he was trying to find an apartment at the time. And now he actually lives in my building now. Like, it all sort of is, like, making sense to me. And here's my thing, is that I don't think that it's him. It's not necessarily him doing me a favor. It's me. I'm honestly, and I want you to take this hopefully the right way.
Oh, God.
Of like,
oh, boy.
Of doing you a little bit of a favor. Because I just feel like when it's come to your dating life recently, all these guys that you've been going out on these first dates with, it's just felt like this sort of drag and a bore, right? And dating, I know, is hard, but it shouldn't be this thing that you just dread and hate all the time. Like, dating can be fun. And this is a guy that, it's not just some random Joe Schmo friend of mine. Like, I've lived with this guy for 7 years through college and afterwards. Like, this is truly one of my best friends. Yeah. And at the end of the day, he said he would take you out on a date. And I just want you to know that, like, he will be a fun date. It will be a good time. Whether or not the chemistry is there, I don't know. I can't make a play for that. But I want you to have a good time there and realize that it can be a fun time.
Don't waste your time on it.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Oh, man. Jackson just won me over. I get it. So your intent is not necessarily to find a boyfriend for Abby, but it's to show Abby that dating can be fun, even if there's no long-term thing.
Exactly. And I know that this guy is super fun. He's charismatic. He's funny. And, like, he's very successful at what he does. And so I just think it makes sense for you to at least give that a shot.
Did you wear your wingman sweatshirt on purpose today?
No, that's pure coincidental.
I told him in the hallway. I was like, you don't deserve to wear that hoodie. You're being a very bad wingman.
Well, I feel like two guys in this situation would have that conversation of where you're the bridge to kind of giving him whatever it is to expect from Abby. So mm-hmm. Was there any excitement on his part, or did it feel more like, I'll just do it?
Yeah, no. Now, I ain't no charity case, but take out this poor, decrepit girl who keeps dating, hasn't last in 10 years.
That's kind of what you gave, bro.
She hasn't truly smiled since senior year of high school.
I'm tired of hearing her talk about it.
It's not a charity case situation. It's really not. And I have had this conversation with him of like, look, I'm not expecting you guys to fall in love at the first sight, but like, I know that you're a fun person to be around. I know that you have good dates and you take girls out on really good dates. And so it just made sense to me that he would just do this and it'd be a good time.
Don't waste your time.
This is like the Salvation Army of wingman. And I want nothing to do with this man. time.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
I am.
Don't pursue him at all. Yeah. If he's interested, if it will be a good time, great. Let it fall into your lap. Don't waste your time.
I agree.
And that's a bold move on your part, Jackson, to like hook, like you called this dude your best friend. You lived with him for 7 years, and you are basically messing where you eat by trying to hook him up with Abby, who you work with every single day.
Guys, it's giving romance novel. I'm sorry. Like, you turned him down. He stood you up on 2 dates, and when you meet, it's going to be love.
How am I feeling like the bad person here?
Because you
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, I need your all's help, all right? How do you tell somebody they need to stop talking negatively about themselves in front of your child because you don't want your child to think it's okay to talk negatively about yourself?
All right, so they're being self-deprecating?
They are, but it's more than, it's not even self-deprecating because it's not like cracking a joke at your expense or whatever. It's literally lamenting about the way she looks and about her weight. And she's constantly coming down on herself. And again, not in a self-deprecating manner, but more of a, God, I look so fat in this, or looking at pictures. If we're looking at pictures and like, you know, I hate looking at pictures of me because of the way I look. But she's saying these type of things in front of my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want my kid to think it's okay that you talk about yourself like that.
I've got the same question for a coworker who I hate when she talks about herself like that, and she keeps doing it. So what can I get in on this?
Sure. The irony being, I only do it here because I don't do it in front of my kids, so they don't get like grow up like me. You know, my goal is to make sure my children don't become me when they get older. But
that's all of our goals. Yeah. That's every mother's goal.
Yeah.
So it's complicated, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think it depends on the person. So I had a family member visit, and she like opened a mirror in the car when I picked her up from the airport. Kids were in the back. She's like, "Oh God, I look so decrepit," and I was like, "Uh-uh." I said negative self-talk's not allowed in our house, and that was it. That I moved on. And then I was like, here's some moisturizer. But that's all. And that's, I left it. And she's like, okay. But I knew that's her personality and she would accept that. And it being in front of the kids, it's just one of those things she wasn't thinking of. And once I brought it up, it registered and that was it. But I sometimes think there are other people who are, it's their way of making themselves feel better or getting compliments to help it. And I'm not trying to come down on it, but to make themselves feel better. And that's a really tough put.
1-855-BIRD-SHOW.
I love this sentiment. And I love the fact that in your home, like with you and Bart, like that's something that you're going to really focus on and not raise Jimmy in an environment where he thinks that that's okay. I do think trying to monitor people who come into your home's behavior in terms of like what they say feels a little bit like trying to put your kids in bubble wrap. Like they're going to go through life hearing people talk poorly about themselves a lot. Like that's just a coping mechanism that humans are going to do. And so I feel like maybe instead of trying to monitor what these people are saying about themselves, because inevitably like he's going to hear that at some point throughout his life, is just continuing that behavior in your home, because the more he's exposed to it in his home, like with the people he trusts the most, the more he's going to feel prepared to go out into the real world and not feel like that's going to affect him.
So instill as much confidence, which we do.
Yeah.
In him and, you know, and I'm not talking about like toxic positivity here, right? I'm just talking about, and I think so often, I think people do it and they don't even realize they're doing it and they can just be so hard on themselves. And it's one of those trying to teach like, yeah, I get it. I can look in the mirror and there's things that I would like change or I would like to be different. But
well, let's see if my list about you compares to your list.
And I think, you know, I don't think you should go through like, I understand that sometimes you got to complain, sometimes you got to vent, no matter how you want to label it, etc. But it's gotten to the point of incessant. Mm-hmm. It's like every other sentence out of her mouth is something derogatory about her appearance. And It's like, okay, I know this is like when you're doing this, it's a coping mechanism of some sort for you because of your like your self-esteem. So I know you need to work through this. I am going to be a protective mother because I don't want that to have a negative impact on my child. But I do agree with you, Abby, as far as like you can't bubble wrap your kids.
Yeah.
And they're going to hear that stuff.
I would be direct about it. If, you know, if I had kids, I would try to appease other people's emotions in my delivery. However, I would feel like what I want for my kids is more important. Mm-hmm. So I would see it just like cursing. Like your kids are going to hear cursing. But if that's not what you want in your house, I don't think there's anything wrong with telling someone, hey, not around my kids. They may naturally do it and not even realize it. But when you bring it up, I think anyone would respect you not wanting something to come from around your kids.
See, if fun fact, you come to my house, you want to drop an F-bomb, go for it. I have no issue with that whatsoever.
As long as it's not used negatively.
Yeah, like I'm so bleeping fat, I can't stand it. Then we have a problem.
But if you say this is the best effing food I've ever had, that's fine. It's positive.
Absolutely. Oh, good. Okay.
Katie, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning. Okay, so I have a good one. So one of my best friends growing up, absolutely beautiful woman, outside, inside, all the things. And when her daughter was around 4, she came to her crying, was like, why can't you be beautiful like all the other mommies? And that was because she had so much negative self-talk about herself.
Oh, that's like, that's a harsh mirror to look into, tough. Isn't it?
You are not kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, Kristen, if can you do it retrospectively, like when they leave the house? Can you?
Because I don't want to do it in front of my kid. You know what I mean?
Right. Can you say something like, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Something retro, not to the person, but to your kid, saying like, that's not acceptable. Like, hey, that's the way that, I'll use you, Cassie, as the example. That's just the way Cassie talks about herself. But in this house, we don't talk about ourselves that way. Is there something that can be said like that?
Yeah, I think so. There's lessons. I think there's lessons to be learned.
How do you feel about lying? Can you go to this person and be like, hey, they're repeating you? And be like, Jimmy just said that?
No, I can't.
You and your conscience.
I know, I'm sorry.
Hey, The Burt Show.
The cliche is be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. So in this case, she asked God to find the right man. Put the right man right in front of me. And then God puts the right man right in front of her. And she's like, not that one.
We must be praying to a different God. Your God is way more efficient than mine.
Chloe, do I have that right? Is that what's going on?
Yes, that's totally right.
All right, give us the details here.
Well, okay, so a month ago, I was approached by a man at my workplace. He asked me out to go out on a date with him and try things out. But I was hesitant because it's a workplace, you know. But he reminded me that we're not on the same team and, you know, we don't know each other. So I thought, like, okay, why not? Then we've had 3 dates in a span of a month. First date, the man talked about dating with an intention to marry within 2025. Okay. And that was April, okay? Be a provider for the family. Wants at least 2 kids with his wife, 1 girl, 1 boy. But basically, he said create babies until baby boy is born.
Hmm.
Okay? That he's financially capable and that he's good, if not great, in bed.
Oh, yes. Wow. First date.
Okay. Loaded first date conversation.
My God.
Always trust those guys. Yeah. Always trust the guys that tell you how wonderful they are in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And now roles reversed. Gentlemen, you're on a first date and a woman is like, I will be married by the end of the year. I will have 2 children, 1 boy, 1 girl. Mm-hmm. If they are both girls, we will continue to, I will continue to bear children until one of them is a male.
Yeah.
And I am good, if not great, in bed. So a woman says this to you on a first date. Are you going on a second?
Well, I'd ask her to prove the bed part. and then we can negotiate the other stuff.
She should have led with the bed part.
Anyway, go on.
Well, okay. So I said, okay, second date. We went on a second date.
We're on a second date.
I was okay with yeah, obviously I'm okay with all of that. So second date, the guys talk about being a man in our relationship and our relationship. And I said, okay, hold, we're not yet in a relationship. And so I asked him if I can pay for my meal because I'm not used to having guys pay for my own meal if we're, you know, we're not yet together. And he said no, because he's trying to set up the boundaries of him and, you know, sending a message of him being the man and provider as early as now. Like, he said that if I go with him, if I marry him, I would not pay a single dime. I can work, but he's going to provide for everything. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
That's for a second date. And then we went on a third date.
It was a third.
Okay. You're giving him every opportunity.
The third date, the guy said, I love you, and will you marry me?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it tracks.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yes.
I think that God has a great sense of humor, and what God is showing you in this guy is that don't waste the time with this. Don't waste God's time with this request. That's what he's saying. Like, really? You're going to ask me for this? This is what I'm going to give you.
Well, first things first, what'd you say?
Well, I kind of like ghosted him for a week because I was overwhelmed with everything that happened in first, second, third date, you know. And, you know, I really pondered on it. I'm like, I asked for this. He gave me more. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this like a positive thing. He gave me more, like, I asked for a ride or die partner. Yeah. I'm not even asking for a marriage, you know, and here's the guy.
Did you say all that to him? Maybe it's like a good chat GPT prompt. Maybe you just didn't put enough in there. You said put a good man in front of me, but he needed more info.
You got to be specific with your prayer,
right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because this doesn't sound like the dude.
So, Chloe, are you seriously contemplating that you are defying God's will by not accepting this man's proposal?
Well, I said no after a week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
I said no to his proposal. But then, you know, I listened to the Bird Show, and you guys have, like, a guest saying that it's a kind of like a similar thing where they just met each other and they got married after a month.
Don't let those silly romantic stories have any kind of influence. Do you know how many negative stories we have had on the Bird Show compared to the good ones?
It's a balance.
Don't let these little good ones guide you. No, it's mostly bad.
Yeah, and also, Chloe, your delivery, very different from her delivery and how her story went.
Yeah.
The difference is they liked each other.
Yeah. But I do think this is a really good case of, like, how you try to fit somebody into something that you want so badly. Like, you heard that story and this, it was so romantic that you're trying to piecemeal this one to make it your story also, but the details are very, very different.
I also think sometimes we confuse who God is sending. Like, maybe the other guy sent this guy as a distraction and it's not actually God's work. I don't want to say his name. God's op. Y'all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't think this is the guy.
Okay, so you guys would have said no as well? Like,
yeah.
I would have said hell no.
Hell no.
No.
Girl, you've been on three dates, and he said he loved you and he wants to marry you. Sure, there are stories out there like this, but the fact that you're calling us with some doubt, that alone is the no. Never mind the marriage proposal after three dates.
Yeah, don't talk to us. Talk to God.
Yeah, right.
He's the one that started this mess.
He won't mess with you twice. All right, we got to roll. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
This feels like a hard pivot going from talking about God to what I'm about to talk about with Halle Berry, with how she spent her Mother's Day. This is some light adult content, so I'll just give you a little warning here, but it's nothing crazy. But basically, Halle Berry posted a video on Mother's Day in bed with her boyfriend, Van Hunt, and they made it very clear that something was about to go down, and it looks like it was all to promote a product that she is selling called Let's Spin.
So, showed y'all how my day started, how my Mother's Day started, and now I'm going to tell you about, I'm not going to show you, I'm going to tell you about how my Mother's Day is going to end. Ain't that right, man?
Yes. I wish you hurry up, too.
First of all, we got our Let's Spin, because Let's Spin just came out in this cute little travel size. And so since we're in Cannes, France, I traveled with it for the first time, and we're about to give it a spin.
So
how could she be so hot that I have this ick? It's the worst ick I've ever had. How can Halle Berry have any ick?
It was so uncomfortable, like, watching it. And I was trying to figure out why, but I just don't think I ever wanted to see Halle Berry in this position.
Right, unless it was with you.
Of course. That's our Halle.
With, like, the cameras off.
Who is this guy?
I think because it was so overt and there wasn't, like, a hint or, like, a veil or an innuendo. It was just so in your face and so... And I mean that literally, that's why it's giving ick.
She already has the perfect line for this product that she is pitching, and it comes from her movie, Monster Ball. I will create it. Make me feel good.
That was way more uncomfortable than the original.
I don't think it could get worse than that Halle Berry.
Way worse.
If Halle Berry was a 5 on the cringe scale, that might have been an 11.
We need to go downstairs. I'm going to go downstairs and take a shower.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going downstairs by jumping out of the window after that.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
You need to put yourself in the penalty box.
Yeah, this came up on my timeline yesterday, and I looked over at Mo, and I was like, Mo, have you seen this Halle Berry video? I'm like, has Halle Berry forgotten who she is?
Right.
How has she reduced herself to selling lubricant on the internet?
Well, I think it's because she's been very open about talking about menopause. And when you go through menopause, there's a lot of hormonal changes in a woman's body, dryness being one of those things. So in my head, this is the leap I'm making. I don't know the first thing about this product. I don't know if this is her product or she's just an endorser. She obviously got money for that post. Let's keep it 100. Like, she's promoting a product.
It's her company, yeah.
Yeah. It's her, okay. Uh-huh. So there you go. So I think it's because of menopause and all that's why she's doing that. It felt odd to do that on Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Pick another occasion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Valentine's Day.
That would have been a little better.
That would have made sense.
I would buy into it fully if he wasn't in it with her. If she just is looking into the camera with whatever she's got in her hand, saying, like, whatever the tube is, and saying those words, very different than having him in the picture with her.
I agree. I think him being there is an issue, and the Mother's Day, because you're thinking about mothers. And yeah. I get that's how we get here, but you don't want to think of a mother in that position.
Like, I know how you got to be a mother, but right. let's not tell the rest of the world. Well, on a very, 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 very different note.
That's $45.
That's $45 lubricant.
Yes, Let's Spin Intimacy Gel. Halle Berry and Re-Spin by Joy Lux. $45.
Well, nah.
For only 2 fluid ounces?
What?
How much are you using, Kristen?
I don't have to use any yet. I know it's right around the corner, but I'm trying to embrace the fact that I don't need it just yet.
You're getting to an age. You should go to Costco today.
Get like the industrial size tub.
The initials on your hoodie right now make this so much funnier.
That is Kentucky, right?
Yes, it is. Okay, hold on. Now I'm Googling Costco lube. Hold on one second. I'm seeing what I can get at Costco.
Costco lube is probably just like Crisco. Probably just get like a giant Crisco bottle.
Oh, they sell. Wow. All right. Never mind. Move on.
Okay. Now, I don't have the emotional energy for this anymore. For more stories, that's The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Let me run this by you guys, because I had mixed feelings about this. And then I thought about it. Now I have strong feelings about it. So there's a woman online this morning that is saying that she just broke up with her boyfriend because she realized that he had subscribed to an OnlyFans model's account, and she considered that infidelity. Would you consider that cheating?
Subscribing to somebody's OnlyFans account?
Yes.
I would be pissed. I don't know if I'd break up, but I would be really, really upset and hurt.
Because if you're watching something adult, right, and there's no interaction between the two of you, that doesn't feel necessarily as cheating, but once that barrier is broken where you're speaking to somebody.
Yes, and
you're able to communicate. That change, am I wrong? Does that change the game for you guys?
It does. And I don't know if technically I would consider it cheating, but I feel like as far as deception, it's pretty much the same thing. Because you know you're doing something that I would be against, so you're hiding it from me in order to do it, and that would make me feel like it's deception.
I think it just depends what the boundaries of your relationship are. Like if you've had the conversation about other digital forms of that and you haven't had a problem with it, then to me, this is similar. I mean, it wouldn't make me feel good. I wouldn't want it, but that's why that would be a boundary in my relationship. But this clearly has crossed some kind of threshold for her. And so, yeah, I think it's a perfectly fine reason to break up with someone.
Like if she knew that he was watching adult content, right? And she was okay with that. To me, that's one thing, but if he doesn't tell her that now he has gone from just watching to interacting, is that where the infidelity comes in?
It's not just the interacting for me. It's the you're spending money. Like there's plenty of free adult content out there. Yeah, so it's the fact that you are spending money on somebody else and putting money in her pocket rather than us going on date nights, I also have a major bone to pick with that.
On these OnlyFans, is it live? Like, can you tell her, can you make a request of what she does and then she does it for cash?
No clue.
I don't know.
That would feel like cheating to me for sure.
I think a lot of them post video. I honestly don't know, but from what I've heard on Reddit, legit, most of them post videos, but then you can make requests, but that's additional money. So you can say, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, and they might be like, that's $100. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I think there needs to be a new category called internet infidelity. So it's not really cheating, but yeah, you are focused on one woman and you're paying her money to see her in explicit situations. Then obviously your attention is on another woman. That is a form of internet infidelity. Like y'all said, if it's just like regular adult films and it's a variety, well, okay, that's your thing.
And if there's any kind of interaction that is outside the adult content, like I'm assuming, I guess I'm assuming there's some kind of conversation or maybe they're just paying and the woman is doing what she's supposed to do. If there's any kind of conversation or giving her any kind of insight or him any kind of insight on what's going on in my life, that is infidelity.
To me, this isn't just infidelity. I would put this in the same category as like hiring a sex worker. Like to me, that's essentially like what you've done is you have paid a specific person money to do something, whether or not you're making requests or not.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like it is a little bit different than just logging onto that certain website.
Like for instance, some people may find that it's inappropriate that I follow the Thor dude that chops wood and he takes his suspenders off to do it, right?
He ain't doing nothing wrong. He's just out doing his job.
He's just out chopping wood.
It ain't his fault he looks sexy.
So I think that's one thing. It's another thing if like I follow him, he follows me, then I slide into his DMs and we start having conversations, then that's right. A whole other ball of wax.
Sure.
Where I feel like when you are subscribing to somebody's channel, you are spending money, and if there is any correspondence whatsoever, you have crossed a line.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, now that I'm listening to y'all talk about it, the interaction part of it, the spending money part of it, that I would qualify that as cheating, for
right,
sure.
Right. Yeah.
The Bird Show.
All right, Mike, so this is turning into a pretty dang sad story here, man.
Yeah.
What a scam if this is true.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, my girlfriend and I went to Nashville and got a free dog. Someone was giving away a Pomeranian named Reggie. Turns out, is 11 years old. I was willing to get past that until about 2 weeks ago, this dog starts coughing like some kind of patient. And
dogs can be patients.
Mm-hmm. He is a patient, apparently. So we take him over to the vet, and they said, hey, not good. Keep him here for 24 hours. We're going to run a bunch of tests. So last time I talked to you guys, he was still at the vet. We got the test back. Turns out this dog has congestive heart failure. Hold on, I got him listed. Congestive heart failure, two deformed arteries in his heart, and dislocatable knees. Ooh, I don't know what that one has to do with. But, I got to thinking about it, and I was like, there's no way these people that gave us this dog didn't know any of this stuff going on.
Sure.
Also, whenever we went to pick up the dog, they were pretty eager to throw him in the car. They didn't want us to turn around or anything. They wanted to get rid of him.
Did your gut say anything to you at that time?
It was strange, but I was like, "What? She has to go to work or something? I don't know. She's in a real hurry."
Because, again, the history of the dog is the dog belonged to somebody who passed away. So the dog was in...
Well, they moved into an old folks
they
home.
Moved, so, apologies. So, yeah, the dog belonged to somebody who was an elder.
Your story will be true in a couple.
Belonged to an elder, and the elder got moved into a facility that didn't allow dogs. The family didn't want to keep the dog, so the family gave the dog away.
That's correct.
So, but you feel like...
there's no way they did not know that this dog had all these ailments, and that should have been like disclosed upon you all exchanging the dog.
Yeah. And last time I talked to you guys, you were kind of pushing back on that idea, and you were saying, well, maybe they didn't know anything. I found irrefutable, undeniable, unintubable.
Unintubable.
Whoa, he means business.
Hey. Don't know if that one's real.
Not unintubable.
evidence that they knew what was going on with this here dog. And it all lies in the vet records. Mm-hmm. So whenever we got the dog, they said, my girlfriend asked for the vet records. They sent the vaccination stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know any better. We don't use our brains that much. So we're like, all right, that's records. So we ran with it. She had to reach out to the previous vet. And here's what it says on his old vet records. Severe dental disease. Pretty obvious if you ever smell his breath. heart murmur, 2 out of 6. Not sure what 2 out of 6 means, but something with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And musculoskeletal luxating patella, right, 2 out of 4, left 3 out of 4. Think that has to do with a knee?
Yes. It does.
Okay. I heard patella.
I'm not.
It's like when you're listening to Spanish, you can only pick like 1 or 2 words out of a whole sentence.
I'm not so worried about the dislocated knee, but this seems like evidence to me that they knew there was a heart issue going on.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. That sounds pretty unintuitable to me.
That's unintuitable.
Okay, now we have to decide, is it on them or is it on you for not doing your due diligence?
Well, so I've already gone down that path too. If you're buying a new car, the thing to do is to take it to a mechanic and get it checked out before you purchase the car. You say, hey, I like the car. I'd like to get it checked out. I want a second opinion.
Especially if they're giving you a car for free.
Yeah, exactly. So if I were to do this again, first, not getting an 11-year-old free dog. Second is I would take it to the vet. And I think that would shed some light on what's really going on here.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so we got all the facts, what you should have done, could have done, will do in the future. But now, really can't do anything about it.
No, yeah. It turned out to be a very expensive free dog.
Yeah.
You can take the dog back.
Can he?
Can you?
I mean, if you...
That's a death sentence for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be able to do that. I mean, there are... You have options, but obviously your girlfriend has a huge heart, which is why she, you know, went and got an elder dog to begin with, which I think is very sweet because they are so hard to get adopted.
It's one thing that your girlfriend and your dog have in common. They both have enlarged hearts.
Hearts.
Wow.
Two dogs.
That was pretty tough.
Yeah.
Have you reached out to the family to complain?
No. See, she wants to send them an angry text. I'm like, just... They're done with the dog. Whatever. We got gypped. We're done here. It's fine.
You can rename the dog Gyp. There's nothing Gyp. You can do about it.
His name is Reggie. We're not changing his name.
So it's Lemon Gypped Reggie.
The Burt Show.
I'm being such a hypocrite in this area because what I hate about social media and phones and the world that we live in right now is this cocooning effect that it is having on all of us, where you can do everything on your phone or your computer, and it takes away from the interaction of people, you know? And that's really a platform of mine. But here I am, on the same token, like, not wanting to call the doctor because I physically have to pick up the phone and dial manually and talk to a person. And I've been putting this appointment off and putting this appointment off for weeks. And
especially when your whole platform was like the wussification of society, right? Mm-hmm. Like you used to get on your wussification soapbox.
I'm still there.
So often. Yeah. No, you fell off. If you can't make a phone call because you don't want to talk to somebody, you have fallen off.
It just seems like such a chore. You and I agreed on this.
Yeah, we agree on it. I'm also dragging my feet for another reason, because even though you are a fan of this procedure, I've never had it, but I am not looking forward to it, and I don't want to schedule it, and I keep putting it off, but I know it has to get done.
Is this the colonoscopy?
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm not a fan of the surgery itself. The drugs, yes.
It's not surgery. It's a procedure.
Yeah, I mean, the procedure.
Yeah.
I just really, really, really love getting knocked out by drugs.
Yeah.
so much so that the night before, which is really, it's literally a crappy night. It's terrible because you're on the toilet all night long. Mm-hmm. But it is so worth the 20 minutes of great sleep you get and never feel anything.
Yeah, so I should have done this last year after I turned 45, but I did not. And my birthday is looming and I need to get this off of my doctor to do list.
You gave us a homework assignment that we had to make the calls and make it. Did you do it?
Absolutely not. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Oh, I did.
Wow. Okay. Do you guys want to know about my journey? I had to pick the phone up from the table all the way up to my eyes. And then I had to manually put the numbers in.
Oh, my God.
And then they picked up. And they're like,
You talk to somebody?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Good morning, blah, 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 office. How can I help you? Yeah, and I made the appointment.
What are you getting done, or can
and
you share?
I want to tell you that it was a marathon. It took like 35, 40 seconds.
It's all worked up, everything.
That I absolutely ate. But yeah, I got mine done, so get yours done.
Okay.
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 All right, Mo.
So two of my friends are fighting right now, and I think it's over something that's pretty silly, but they can't seem to come to an agreement here, and I'm curious as to how you guys would handle this situation if you were in it. So this all happened because one of them, and they are best friends, like I think I need to make that clear. This is like your top tier A-plus friend, and one of them asked the other one to pick something up for her while she was on vacation. So let's say your best friend is on a vacation and there's something that you want, some kind of item that this person can only get from this country where they are. So you go, oh, my God, you're there. Can you pick some so-and-so up for me, right?
Mm-hmm. We just had this conversation with neighbors the other night because we're going to be in Kentucky and there's some very hard to get bourbons unless you're in Kentucky, and we're gonna snag some for them.
So in both situations, right, how would you assume that the person, like, so if your best friend, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this. If you're the best friend and your best friend reaches out to you, would you expect them to give you the money for it, or are you just picking it up because it's your best friend?
So Chad here has asked me to like pick up trading cards for him, like Pokemon, when I was in Japan for his son. So I did that, never ever thinking that I would ever charge him for that.
Okay.
No, it was kind of like, he does so much stuff for us here, so it was kind of a hey, thank you. Mm-hmm. But I would never.
So same with me. Like if I'm the person picking it up, I would never think that, like, oh, my best friend owes me the money. I would just get it.
Yeah, no, you're getting a Venmo.
Yeah. Really?
Really?
You need to Venmo me.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially depending on if it's a couple of bucks, then absolutely not. It's like, no skin off my back. I was there. Got it, you know. But, like, a really nice bottle of bourbon that's going to probably run, like $70 or something like that, I will pick it up for you, and then I'm going to Venmo you the car. And that was established in said conversation. Hey, if you grab this, we'll reimburse you. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll buy it. And then I'll send a Venmo request for how much it costs, and done and done.
Like, I do think it has to do with the amount of money. I mean, the cards I'm talking about picking up for him were
$4. Yeah. That's nothing.
But if it was like a, because I think it actually cost $70 exactly. Like if it's a $70 purchase, you wouldn't just get that for your friend?
If he asked me like for a specific thing and it was going to cost over $75, it would be more of a debate. For Chad, I would do it because he does so much stuff for us. But for the most part, if it's that expensive, I would probably charge him for it. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to say, that's interesting because they're two women, and I thought maybe that might have been the difference. Because as a guy, I don't think me and my dude would even mention it. Like, I wouldn't expect him to ask me for the money. If he did, it wouldn't be a problem. But when we get things for each other, we just get it.
Have you seen a group of women out to dinner together, and then the check comes, and they're trying to figure out who owes what? It's a flipping nightmare, man.
Touche. That might be a part of the problem.
The Burt Show.